Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Rumble Tuesday. As we're about to start watching the 2017 Royal Rumble. That is the FS1 show tonight. That was the 30th anniversary of the Royal Rumble 2017. First time that they were back in San Antonio for the Royal Rumble since 97. They had done the Royal Rumble in 97 there. That was a pretty good Royal Rumble with Austin winning that one and the controversy surrounding it where he got thrown out and then he came back in and he threw out Bret Hart. And I think Vader was in the final four of that. I think Mankind was in the final four of that as well. I think that's the fun because the four of those guys wrestled just a month later at a pay-per-view, the In Your House Fatal Four or whatever like that, after Shawn lost his smile and the title was up for grabs. But anyway, lots to get into with you here this evening. Of course, we ask you to download the radio.com app. That, of course, is the cool new way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. So take your device. You got your smartphone. You got your smart speakers. You got your tablet. Those are modern-day devices, right, Jarvis? I just want to be sure that I got the modern-day devices in. Then if you also have like a Laserdisc or a Commodore 64 or Sega Genesis or an Xbox, that's modern-day too, right? PlayStation, that's modern day. Can we say those? Jarvis, are we safe to say those for modern day? Swatch Watch. But anyway, just download the app onto one of your devices. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms available to you there. As always, the best way to keep up with this particular show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's back in Midtown producing the show. Hopefully his board is working fine. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Well, lots to get into with you here this evening. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we'll talk to our buddy. We haven't talked to him in a while. Gabe Burns, of course, covers the Atlanta Braves for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We will speak with him as Braves get ready here in just a, you know, what, I guess 2.5 weeks to opening day, quote-unquote, for the 60-game regular season that we're going to have. So we'll talk to Gabe as there's a lot of news surrounding the Braves. Of course, they've been lots of news, not just about baseball-related, but obviously some of the things that are going on with, you know, sicknesses and COVID and who's playing, who's not playing. I thought it was funny today because Brian Snicker made it a point to say that there was no announcements today There were no announcements today about anything, which is good news. You know, no news is good news. That was today. They were able to get some, you know, some, I think it's tomorrow is when they're doing the simulated scrimmage. But they were able to get everybody on the field and do some working out. And, man, that's Charlotte Flair, by the way. My goodness gracious. Anyway, but they were able to get some workouts done. And they're going to do some simulated scrimmaging tomorrow. I think Soroka's going to throw some tomorrow. So, we'll talk to our buddy Gabe and find out what's going on with the Braves as opening day will be right around the corner. Of course, it is Tuesday night, so coming up at 10:40, we'll end the show with Rank 'em. So we'll ask you for your lists for all of that. By the way, also, too, in the 2017 Royal Rumble, this is the last Rumble without the women. The last couple of years, the last 3 years now, right, the women have been part of the Royal Rumble. So the women have had three consecutive Royal Rumbles. So 2017, the last time without a female Royal Rumble in it. But anyway, so we'll do Rank 'em coming up at 10:40. A couple of things to get into here right at the very start. One is prayers and well wishes. Steve Sarkisian, you see this story? Of course, the offensive coordinator for Alabama and the former offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons spent some time here in Atlanta with the team. Underwent heart surgery last week and is expected to make a full recovery. His condition was discovered during an annual physical. In a statement during Coach Sarkisian's physical last week, it was determined that he needed a procedure to correct a congenital cardiovascular anomaly before it became an issue. Coach Sarkisian underwent a successful procedure this past Thursday in Birmingham. He's back home in Tuscaloosa and expected to make a full recovery. Now, some people cynically would say that the anomaly was the fact that they even found a heart. But that would be mean and cruel, and I wouldn't say or do anything like that, you know. Would I do that? No, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, prayers and well wishes to Steve Sarkisian. And anytime you start messing around with the heart, trust me, as a guy who laid on a slab and, you know, wondered about whether or not, you know, I was going to make it tomorrow, you know, on February 15th, 2018, you know, that day, you know, you have your days that live in infamy. That was definitely a day that that lived in infamy with me. So prayers and well wishes out to him as well. Now, of course, we've got Atlanta United coming up Saturday, 8 o'clock in Orlando. You know, MLS is back, hashtag MLS is back, and all that good kind of stuff that they got going on. We know Dallas is not going to be a part of all of this. But, you know, it's obviously the first team here locally to get back in the action. You know, we've had MMA, we've had wrestling, we've had NASCAR, we've had golf. So we've had individuals that we've been able to kind of root for, root against, this, that, and the other. But this will be our first chance collectively as a city to get back to rooting for our guys, right? This is our first chance to root for our guys. And I think there's going to be a lot of momentum, and I think there's going to be a lot of eagerness and excitement, you know, leading up to Saturday, because this is now one of our teams that we're finally getting to see. And to be honest with you, the fact that it's a team sport that's getting itself cranked back up by itself, you know, look, with all due respect to, you know, European soccer and things like that, okay? And, you know, who's our one of our producers, Marshall? You know, he's like this fan of Tottenham. I'm like, what, you know, or we used to have Jason Marks that produced. Remember Jason Marks, Jarvis? Remember when he was here? You know, and he was a big fan of Liverpool. And I'm like, what is a country bumpkin, you know, backwoods overall wearing hillbilly like you know about rooting for a Liverpool soccer team? Get out of here with that stuff, you country hillbilly. So we get our guys back. We get our guys back on the field, you know, in a tournament style and all that. But honestly, win, lose, or draw, and obviously we're rooting for them to win, but just the fact that we get one of our teams back, I think is a big deal. I think it's a great first step and a great way for us as the city to kind of have something to start to rally around as sports fans. And I understand soccer is not everybody's, you know, cup of tea. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not the biggest soccer guy, but I am an Atlanta United fan, and I do support Atlanta United. You know, I'm not going to sit down and watch Tottenham versus, you know, Barcelona. Sorry, You know, I'd rather run my head into the TV and see how many glass flakes I can pick out, you know, of it. Not my thing. But I will watch MLS and I will watch Atlanta United because that's our team and it's our city. And I want them to be successful. And look, I'll take every championship we can get. Give me every major sport championship that we can get. I don't care what it is. You know, the fact that they've got their title, you know, listen, means the other franchises have a lot of work to do to try to catch up to what they've done. So win, lose, or draw, just the fact that we get to see one of our teams and one of our franchises and our guys, and it gives us as a collective community something to root for, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And maybe, you know, still being Saturday, you know, maybe the buzz isn't quite there just yet. Because I think there's still probably a lot of people skeptical about, is this really going to happen? Because if I'm right, Jarvis, right, the MLS actually starts tomorrow, right? We start getting matches tomorrow, Thursday, right? Yeah. Yeah. So we get matches starting tomorrow in MLS. And it still feels like in some ways we're kind of like, okay, is this going to happen? Is this really, are we really going to see this? And I think once we get through tomorrow and we get real live matches, then the emotion of, okay, now we can start to get excited because, hey, this really happened and we got all of this. So I'm excited. I'm glad we finally get one of our teams. Since the Hawks are not going to be part of the NBA, Braves, you know, still a couple of weeks away. Falcons are only getting toward, you know, camp here in a few weeks. You know, we get one of our local teams live and in living color and in action in meaningful competition that actually counts. That should be exciting unto itself. All right, when we get back. So the Braves need an outfielder. There is a guy out there, and we kind of mentioned this name before. Is he a guy maybe they should look at? Well, maybe we revisit it, and maybe he could be another piece. We'll talk about all of that next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on a Rumble Tuesday, watching the 2017 Royal Rumble. Back with you on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Rumble Tuesday. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We encourage you to leave us a comment there, as always. Don't forget to download your radio.com app so that you can catch us on the go when you're not in your car. Follow social media. It's at 929 The Game. Follow myself. Reach me at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Gabe Burns from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who's the beat writer for the Atlanta Braves, coming up in our next segment with you. But as the Braves got on the field today for really their first collective outing as a group, and Snicker talked about how, you know, he felt like it was, you know, kind of a little bit more business as normal. There was no news to report, you know, as far as any testing or any players opting out or anything like that. So it was a no news is good news kind of day. Tomorrow they'll get into some simulated scrimmage and things like that. There's, you know, we obviously talked about the schedule last night and how I think the schedule really favors the Braves as you get toward the end of it. You get in the final month of the season in September, and I think there's a lot of good to be had during that time. But we know, obviously, with Nick Markakis out, and he's not going to play at all this season, you know, questions about how the outfield rotation are going to be. Does this mean that some of the younger guys get a chance? Does Waters and Pache get more of a chance? Will we see more Ender and Ciarte in this mix? You know, how will they consistently play Ozuna? You know, we don't know how much they may have Austin Riley available as an outfielder because he may have to play first for a while. He may have to play some first, and we know probably have to play some third. And then you've got the DH factor as well. You know, we're going to have another body that's going to make up your DH. So, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has said for now that they don't necessarily expect to look outside the organization for help. But there is one name, and we kind of talked about this name a couple of months ago, about whether or not the Braves should make a move for him. And that's Yasiel Puig. You know, he seems to be the one kind of real name that's still viable. I mean, there's still guys like Jacoby Ellsbury and things like that who, God, I don't know what he's got left. Well, you talk about a guy, Ellsbury, who had one monster season for the Red Sox, and, I mean, parlayed that into major cash. People were looking at him like he was going to be the next hot center fielder thing, power, speed, could do, and he just, you know, injuries and everything else, he just flatlined after his, when he went, what did he go, the Yankees, when he left the Red Sox, and just never really did much of anything at that point. So would Yasiel Puig be a guy that would be on the radar? I think people probably don't realize, as long as Yasiel Puig has been in the league, which feels like it's been for, you know, 1,000 years, you realize he'll play this season, and he'll still be only 29 years old. He won't turn 30 years old until December 7th, which is crazy to think, you know, that I'm almost 20 years older. I mean, I'm basically 19 years older than Yasiel Puig. I mean, when Yasiel Puig was born, I was already graduated from high school. In fact, I already had turned 19 and had graduated from high school at that point. Last year, in a combination of playing for two Ohio teams, the Cincinnati Reds and the Cleveland Indians, Puig in 149 games had 24 homers, 84 RBI, 19 stolen bases, scored 76 runs, and hit .267 with a .327 on-base percentage, .458 slugging, which is a .785 OPS. So not a bad season, 30 doubles to go along with it. Now look, is Puig a guy who's coming in to carry your franchise? No. Is he an interesting name? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I think that I personally, for me, would like to see the Braves embrace their youth movement. You know, especially in a 60-game season, because if you get one of those guys hot that pitchers haven't seen and don't have a book on. It's like what we saw with Austin Riley. Imagine if Austin Riley could have replicated that stretch that he had last year into a season like this. Hell, he probably would have been an MVP candidate, because in a short sample size, you know, 25 games, you know, for this year, that's more than a third of the season. You get a guy that goes on a big run for whatever, you know, that can make a huge difference. Now, conversely, you get one of your star players that gets in a complete funk, and that can, you know, put you, you know, adversely behind the eight ball as well. So it starts to become a matter of, do you embrace the youth movement or do you look for veteran help in your outfield? And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about a legitimate starting outfielder. Somebody that miss me with Adam Duvall, okay, you know, sorry. You know, Adam Duvall is a spot situational guy that's had a few nice moments, but if you're putting faith into Adam Duvall, you're doing it wrong. Something's wrong with your organization, okay? You know, listen, Michael Tucker played in some of the biggest games in the late 1990s. In fact, I think Michael Tucker holds the distinction, right? He hit the first home run in Turner Field. Michael Tucker played way too much in some of the most important games of the Braves in the late 90s. Okay? We fall in love with these guys that shouldn't be playing as much as what they are. Truthfully, Nick Markakis probably starts to fall into some of that as well. Sorry, but a corner outfielder who's a 9-home-run guy, just unless you tell me he steals 70 bases, you know, Billy Hamilton could get away with that, you know, if he's stealing 70 bases, hitting 9 home runs. But a corner outfielder who hits 9 home runs, I'm sorry. But it will be a name that people will wonder. And look, I'm sure, you know, the Braves will come out and cry poor when we talk about players, you know, because the $487 million last year that they raked in from the Battery and all the things that went along with it, you know, obviously there can't be any money. And, you know, we were told by the two of the owners of the National League that, you know, everybody throws all their money back into their team and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, and the Braves are still what? What did we say the Braves were, 12th or 13th? Maybe even lower than that in payroll this coming year. Now, I don't know what Puig would cost. I mean, you know, I don't know what a guy like that is going to run you on. But like I said, honestly, and his numbers aren't too bad last year. I mean, he's still got some pop in his bat. He's still got a rocket for an arm. You know, he's still got a cannon out there in right field. But I just think that the idea of trying to catch lightning in a bottle with your youth outfielders, to me, would be more of the way to go. Now, we'll ask Gabe, because I won't be surprised at all if we get a heavier dose of Ender Inciarte. But, you know, if Inciarte replicates the start of his season this year like he has, you know, multiple times for the Braves before, how long do you stick with a guy like that? You know, I do hope that we get a good look at Pache or Waters and see if those guys, you know, are ready for this year. Because those guys in a 60-game season, like I said, you get a hot streak going for 20, 25 games. You know, you get a guy that they don't have film, they don't have a book, they don't have all the video yet, they haven't quite figured out. You know, eventually they figure you out in Major League Baseball. You know, they have to adjust to you, then you have to adjust to them. And if you adjust to them, then they have to go back to trying to adjust to you as well. So, look, you can get a guy with not a lot of background that can come in right away and just be loosey-goosey, not think too heavily about what he's doing, you know, from the standpoint of not overthinking things, not overanalyzing things. Just coming up, having fun, see ball, hit ball, swing and get after it, you know, and just go out and play baseball. I think that's one of the things that I would much rather see is something like that versus investing money into another veteran. Because you're going to get a developed enough squad that they've got enough guys. I mean, with all due respect, they don't have to sign a guy. They have enough guys. And I don't know, do we know the final scope of the rosters, how many we're talking about, you know, how many people on the taxi squad? I don't even know if we have all of that information as far as, you know, what's going to be the final numbers for roster and everything else to it. But we know that the rosters will be expanded. We know that you're going to have a deep taxi squad that you can pull guys out of. So I lean more toward the side of, let me see the young guys. Let me see what the young guys can do. And I will tell you, if Inciarte is going to get, you know, a lot of start in this thing, you know, if he's going to start off in center field for this thing, then look, he, you know, if he can't get it together pretty quickly, you got to make a change. This is not a year where you can sit around and wait around and let guys get out of their funk and, well, you know, he's just a pitch away. You know, he had some good swings, you know, in there tonight, and he's working himself out of it. You don't have time for that this year. You don't have time to you know, him haul around. You ain't got time to just kind of, you know, muck around out there. You know, knee deep in the muck and mire. You ain't got time for all that kind of stuff. You got to get it going, man. You got to get guys that can come in and do it. And I think that's where youth has its benefit. There's no history. There's no background. Yeah, they can watch minor league film and this, that, and the other. But guys come up and just get hot. And we've seen tons of rookies that, you know, over the course of 162 games, their numbers flatten out. But in a 60-game stretch, oh, yeah. Yeah, you could get a Christian Pache that comes up and, you know, he hits .380 and steals bases and plays great center field and, you know, he's hitting doubles and he's doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you can catch lightning in a bottle. I'd much rather try to catch lightning in a bottle with my youth than to put money in a guy that may or may not, you know, be as motivated to play, or may not truthfully give you the results. You know, you don't know how one of those guys is going to, you know, come out and get the season started, you know. And, yeah, I understand he's not even 30 years old yet, but, you know, in baseball years, you start getting up there a little bit. And, of course, you know, guys like Puig haven't really done anything themselves either. You know, they haven't had preseason and all those kinds of things. So stay with the youth movement. You know, the biggest key, I think, will be, you know, will Snitker embrace that himself? Will he embrace the idea of playing his youth and playing his guys? And he may not have to. Like I said, with Markakis not playing, maybe having to use Riley more as infielder on the corners and things like that, limiting his ability. You know, yeah, they got Caharga. Caharga can play out there, you know, as well. But, you know, you got to figure, is he playing third base? He playing first base? You know, they've got some decisions that they've got to make even in the short term, even in, you know, okay, if I field a team today, who's playing? You know, who's playing out there? Am I putting my best? Am I putting all my best guys out there? Not just who was it today? Was it Pete Alonso? In the last time Pete Alonso played Major League Baseball, he hit like a .180 or something like that. Like literally, he was like about, you know, 20 points higher than what Tim Tebow's batting average was, right? So put your best guys out there, but stay with the youth movement. Stay with the guys that are the next generation and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle with those guys. All right, coming up next, speaking of the Braves, as we said, we'll talk to our buddy Gabe Burns from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, get his thoughts about where we stand on the Braves and what's coming up. It's all next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out, watching this 2017 Royal Rumble on a Tuesday night, Sports Radio 929 The Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, back at it on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. As always, we ask you to download the radio.com app because, well, you're not in your cars often, so the easiest way to listen to the radio station is through the radio.com app. Have that on your device to be able to always catch us when you're on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. Follow myself on Twitter at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, we've got a lot of Braves baseball taking place, both, you know, as far as play on the field, as far as, you know, unfortunately, health issues behind the scenes. Here to help us sort it all out, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Been a while since we had a chance to talk to it. It's our guy, Gabe Burns, joining us. Of course, the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can follow him on Twitter. It would be at Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, hope you've been doing well, my friend. Appreciate you hanging out with us tonight as we're inching closer to actual on-field baseball.
Yeah, back at y'all. Thanks for having me. And I think that saying we're sorting everything out is the best way to put it.
Gabe, let's talk about first, with the loss of Markakis opting out, you know, we were talking about this in the last segment. I do hope the Braves embrace the youth movement. But do you think that this means Ozuna left, Acuna right, Enciarte in center to start things? Or do you think that there will be a competition for a starting outfield spot separate of Ozuna and Acuna?
Well, I think that just like when they had Markakis, that they have options on how they can play this. I don't think there's going to be one particular setup, except for they will have Acuna and Ozuna in the lineup every day. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Ozuna is going to be playing left field because they do have the luxury of the DH now. So I know people have kind of mentioned Adam Duvall as a DH candidate, but Duvall is a better defender than Ozuna is. So there's different ways that they can kind of mix this up. So I don't think you're going to see anything set except for, you know, Acuna will either be in right field or in center pretty much every day. So, I mean, the loss of Markakis hurts. It hurts from a clubhouse standpoint, it hurts from a platoon standpoint, but fortunately for them, they do have the outfield depth to withstand it and to still, you know, be able to kind of mix and match as they see fit. And, you know, and of course, we have to mention they have the two top prospects who I don't, you know, they're not going to open the year with the club, but, you know, with so much uncertainty right now, you know, it won't take that much for them to force their way up. So the Braves are definitely in a decent position to handle Markakis. It's unfortunate, and it does hurt them. But, you know, it's not that huge of a blow just considering how many options they have in the outfield.
Gabe, speaking of, you know, having to have some options, obviously Freddie Freeman and his health concerns, you know, I'm not going to speak for you, but I said last night, I'm not convinced that we'll see Freddie Freeman right away, not because his health is in danger or something like that, but I just think given the times that they're going to slow ease him back, you know, obviously, and, you know, I've said I believe I had it earlier in February, and, you know, if he had the same things that I did, and it just sucks the life out of you, you know, after a while. So trying to get back to full strength and things like that, I'm not convinced that when the season opens they have Freddie, which also means you have to figure out maybe first base. Heck, if nothing else, if you're going to try to scrimmage against yourself, you have to figure out first base. So, you know, Austin Riley, we're hearing Alonzo. You know, when you talk about the outfield depth, there's another guy in Riley that, you know, obviously he's got some experience in the outfield. How do you think, I guess more opinion, that Freeman starts the year actually playing? And, you know, what does this do, I think, for the first base position, you know, as far as who's going to try to hold that spot down if it is, you know, Freddie not there opening day?
Well, you know, without really speculating, everybody seems to be handling, you know, it's an individual case thing. So everyone's handling, you know, recovery differently, and it's really impossible to know right now. But I think it's more than fair to, you know, wonder if he will be opening the season with the club. So, I you know, they have three, you know, Snit recently mentioned three primary guys, and Markakis was actually one guy who could also handle first. He hasn't played first, I think, in about 4 years, but he would have been one more option. And that's Riley, as you mentioned. Camargo can play first. I think he's only played one major league game there. Riley's played six. And then Duvall can play first. So kind of like with the outfield, I mean, if Freddie's unavailable, I think you're really going to see the Braves do a lot of mixing and matching with their lineup overall to just figure out where, you know, where they're getting the best defensive play out of these guys. You know, maybe who's swinging the hottest bat, who are they most comfortable using right now, and then, you know, you mix in all the uncertainties with the virus and just, you know, not knowing how these guys are going to play coming out of the gate. I mean, this is, you know, we're in uncharted waters here. I mean, we have no idea, you know, if there's a guy who they didn't expect who's struggling mightily. I mean, you know, at some point maybe you're plugging in a different guy. So there's just so many factors at play. But I definitely think it's fair to question if Freddie's going to be available by opening day. And if he's not, you know, like the outfield, they are fortunate enough that they have multiple guys who can handle that. It's just a matter of, you know, what they're going to ultimately see fit depending on the night.
Gabe Burns, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Gabe, give me your thoughts about, look, it's a 60-game season, okay? It's barely, what is it? I think the official number is 37% is what we're going to play. With that, the Braves have some very youthful guys. I mean, obviously, Acuna, Albie, Swanson, you know, Riley. They have, you know, Camargo. I mean, they have a lot of youth on this team. I understand we're in a pandemic, and there is concerns about health. But at the same time, do you think you have to pretty much go to those guys and say, look, you guys, you know, I know they're going to play 20 straight days to start the season, but at 22, 21, 23 years old, do we need to expect those guys to play every day? You don't have a lot of time to kind of rest guys and sit them here. Man, you got to keep your foot on the gas pedal because it's going to be over before you even blink your eyes.
Yeah, I mean they're going to rely on all those guys a lot, and I mean it's with how much the games are going to matter with a 60-game season. I mean, you don't really have the luxury of giving Acuna, you know, taking things slow, maybe if he's banged up or something. Fortunately, with the DH, that kind of helps them just as a matter of, you know, if a guy is, you know, maybe he wouldn't be his best in the field, they can plug him in there. So that's kind of a little bit of a luxury they have now, but. Yeah, I mean, every game is going to be that much more important. I've heard some people basically saying that it's like basically a 60-game playoff. So if you're mm-hmm. looking at it from that perspective, I mean, you're going to need your best guys in there every day. And like you just mentioned, the Braves are playing 20 straight games to open the season, and they're off, I think, like four consecutive Thursdays, oddly enough. So how they handle it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle these first 20 games. And then once you get to the point that you're having, you know, an off day a week, like they're going to have a stretch there for a month, they're going to be in, you know, a lot easier shape as far as that goes. But I mean, just like you and everyone else, I'm going to be really curious to see how much all of these guys play and how Snit really handles all this.
Gabe, where are we at with Cole Hamels? I mean, obviously we knew that, you know, a few months ago, he wasn't going to be part of opening day, and you know he's saying the right things and all this, but where are we kind of at with him right now?
Well, right now he and the team expect him to be ready for opening day, and things can change as always, as we've seen a lot of times with this team, especially in the couple of years that I've been doing this. But they're thinking that he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season now. his workload is going to be very light, just like other starters. I mean, that you expect. I mean, there's a good chance his first start is, you know, three innings, which is not obviously not the worst thing in the world. This team has the pitching depth. They're going to be piggybacking starters. So just like they will with Soroka and with Freed and with Foltynewicz, just everybody, they're going to work these guys in slowly. So that's going to be the same plan for Hamels. Hamel says he feels good. He says he's ready to go. I mean, he's been rehabbing and getting ready throughout the past 3 months. So all we have right now is to take them at their word, and we'll see how things unfold here over these next couple weeks. But for right now, the expectation is that he will be in the initial rotation.
You know, Gabe, I look at this team, and I think one of the things that is a real strength that may be a real difference maker is – we talked about you're going to play 20 straight games to start the season. And look, guys are going to be trying to get adjusted, you know, expecting close games. The Braves have a plethora of guys who can close games. And because your bullpen's going to get overworked and not have days off to rest and things like that, I really do think with Melanson and Green and Will Smith, and you've got a cavalcade of guys who have been in that end-the-game closer role, I think the Braves have a big advantage over a lot of other clubs because they don't have to worry about trying to rely on one or even two guys in a stretch where, you know, you're not going to have any days off for 20 days. They've got four guys at least that they could put at the end of a game and feel like that they could get three outs to finish it off.
Yeah, I agree. It goes back to that word that we all admittedly overuse, depth. But, you know, this team has depth everywhere, and the back end of the bullpen especially. And this might be a one-year thing because several of these guys are going to be free agents after the season. And relievers are so volatile anyway that it's kind of hard sometimes to see what you're going to be getting year to year for a lot of these guys. So the bullpen that the Braves invested so heavily in this winter, hopefully it won't be going to waste, and then there will be a full season played. So it's a big advantage for them, and, you know, like I looked at it, I think they have six of their first 40 games are against teams that were below 500 last year. I want to say looking at the schedule last night, so that was three games against Toronto and three games against Miami in their first 40. It's a tough schedule. They're playing a lot of good teams, and even, you know, if you want to say this is going to be a down year for Boston, I mean, we don't know what to expect from the Mets or from the Phillies, but, I mean, this is a strong schedule, and that means a lot of close games. So that bullpen is going to come in real handy. I mean, even look at their first 11 games. It's the Mets and Rays, and the Mets are certainly, a playoff contender, and the Rays think they're a World Series contender. So it's going to be huge to have a bullpen, and that could be the thing that puts the Braves over the top because, again, it's hard to imagine anybody is going to gain that much distance in a 60-game season, and if you look at really the NL East, the Braves have probably the best bullpen. So, I mean, that very well could be the difference. So I agree. Having those options and, you know, if, you know, something happens to somebody, if somebody's injured or somebody's unavailable for a while, I mean, they have guys who can step up. So, yeah, that bullpen could wind up making the difference and then making the playoffs or not.
On Twitter, at Gabe Burns, AJC, covers the Braves for Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As always, Gabe, appreciate it, buddy. We'll be talking to you here very soon.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks, and y'all stay safe.
You got it. Same to you. We'll be back. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.